that is who God sweat. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Amen. Well, just by way of text, we'll read again verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Dear congregation, we read in Isaiah 41, verse 13, For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. What words of consolation there for the people of God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we face, as we saw 2 weeks ago, a number of storms in our journey towards the golden shore of heaven. There are storms that test us. However, we have our blessed captain, whose eye is upon us, and who comes to help us and holds our hand. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. He holds our hand, and therefore he supports us. I will hold thy right hand, fear not, I will help thee. Well, as we shall see this morning, Peter in the storm was helped by Jesus. Just come with me to verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Well, here we consider this morning Jesus in the storm. If you recall last week, we considered the disciples in the storm. Well, our particular focus this morning is Jesus in the storm, and the way in which he helped his disciples, particularly Peter, but how he also helps us. Now, if you recall last week, the disciples were sent across the lake. And so in the providence of God, they faced this storm. And so do we in God's providence. In Psalm 107, verse 25, we read this, For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind. Last October, we were on the way back from South Devon, and we stopped at a place called West Bay, and we went out and we took some pictures. How stormy it was as we looked out, and we're reminded that the Lord is over all. He's over the winds and the waves, for he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They were sent across the lake by our Lord in his providence. And we face storms in the Lord's providence. And as we considered also last week, we as the Lord's people, as we know plainly from experience, and as we see here this morning, we are not exempt from stormy weather. There can be times of calm, but then suddenly the storm comes, the storm of affliction. In Psalm 69, verse 1 and 2, we read, Save me, O God, for the waters are coming unto my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. There's the psalmist, the sweet psalmist of Israel. He knew what it was to sink in the waters when the storm hit. And all you think, when this storm hit here upon the lake, they were shaken. They were toiling for so long. The Lord came a little later, did he not? We read in verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them. And it shows to us they were battling in this storm for a while. Up and down the little boat went. But we in the storms of life can face the waves of affliction crashing upon our soul, and we can be shaken up. Within we can know that melting feeling, and we can find ourselves at our wits' end. Psalm 107, verse 26, they mount up to heaven, they go down again to the depths, their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Their soul is melting. One can be battling in a storm of affliction, and physically can be tired, but oh, the melting of the soul within. And one can find themselves at their wits' end. As we saw also in a storm, one can find themselves feeling lonely. To begin with, on this occasion, the Lord was not with his disciples. And they faced this storm, and it was dark, as we saw, and they were on their own, and they felt it. And in some storms, we can feel the loneliness. The Lord's there, but we don't sense him. Well, they felt the loneliness, and it's not a pleasant feeling. Fear took hold in this storm. What's going to happen? They were experienced fishermen, but oh, fear took hold. And we're not surprised at times, are we? If the disciples knew fear, that we know fear to some measure in the storms of affliction. And then consider how Peter sank in the waters, as we will note in a moment. The sinking feeling, beginning to sink. It's not a pleasant feeling, is it, when you feel you're beginning to sink? Well, here then was the storm. There were the storms of affliction, the storm of sickness, sorrow, persecution, temptation. On we could go. The disciples faced a storm. But particularly this morning, for the remainder of the time, I'd like us now to consider Jesus in the storm. And as we think of that right at the outset, does this not bring us comfort? As we face storms in our lives, that the Lord watches over and the Lord will come. And all to focus on Jesus in the storms we face. Now, before we look at this account in a little more detail, we're reminded on another occasion, Jesus was in the boat. Not the same occasion, of course. Matthew 8, verse 24, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. There he was on that occasion. He was in the boat and he was asleep. He needed sleep. As God, he did not need sleep. He did not need rest as we do. Young people, what do we read in Psalm 121? Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. As God, he did not need rest. And what a comfort it is to know that the Lord neither slumbers nor sleeps. Spurgeon wrote, how delightful to think that no form of unconsciousness ever steals over him. Neither the deep slumber nor the lighter sleep. He will never suffer the house to be broken up by the silent thief. He is ever on the watch. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. So the Lord is God. He did not sleep. But here we consider in Matthew 8, in view of his human nature, he grew weary in Matthew 8. He needed sleep on that occasion. And oh, that's a comfort for us, isn't it? He needed sleep, and so do we at times. He has a fellow feeling of your infirmity. He knew what it was to be weary. He knew what it was in a storm to need sleep. He was weary after a busy day. He has that fellow feeling. The Lord understands me when I am weary. Now we read in Psalm 127, verse 2, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. The Lord was found there sleeping in the boat in Matthew 8. On another occasion, the Lord gives his beloved sleep. That's precious, isn't it? When we find ourselves needing to rest, the Lord gives sleep. As God, he was in control. In view of his human nature, he was sleeping. Now just before we move on to this particular account, consider he was given sleep in the storm. And that's a help to us, isn't it? Sometimes we can't sleep, but there are other times when we are found sleeping in the storm of affliction. And we know spiritual rest near to the Lord in the storm. Psalm 57 verse 1, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpast. And it's a blessing, isn't it, in the storm of calamity, when we're found near to the Lord resting. The Lord, on an occasion, when he crossed the lake in Matthew 8, he was sleeping in the storm. Are we not thankful when we can rest in the storm? One of old wrote, in the tempest of life on its wide heaving sea, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. Oh, to know rest in the storm. Well, let's now, for the remainder of the time, consider this account here of Jesus in the storm. And as we do so, I'd like us to consider firstly Jesus and his power. Jesus and his power. Now the Lord was not with the disciples to begin with. He was up a mount praying. But he saw them toiling in rowing. And here in this account for us in Matthew 14, we are brought then to consider the power of Christ. Now just come with me to verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. The storm had been raging for many an hour now. But here's our Lord. And we consider firstly here, he came walking on the water. Just think of it, children. He didn't sink. Here's a great storm that the disciples have been battling for many an hour. And here comes our Lord. He doesn't sink in this great storm. The waves have lifted up. As we note in a moment, Peter, he suddenly sees the wind boisterous. There was such an agitation, such a shaking. But here's the Lord. He walks on the water. He's walking. Think of the water. You cannot of yourself walk on the water, can you? Water cannot support you. Yes, we can think of a vessel on the water, but if you try to get out of that vessel of yourself, you would just sink. But here's the Lord. He's walking on the water. Oh, the power of Jesus. He's able. He's able to walk on the water here. And he's able to come to the disciples. And as we think of the storms we face, he's able, for he is of great power, to come and help you. He walked on the water. If he walked on the water, he's able to help you in your storm that you face. And he's able to get to you. Now you think of a lifeboat that goes out to help someone in distress. From time to time, we walk with my father down to the Mudderford Quay. And we always have a look in at the lifeboat station, and we take note of the lifeboat. It's a smaller one than the one at Appledore. I know some of you children, you've seen the one at Appledore. It's a bigger one. But the one at Mudderford, we look in. And we also take note of when they were last called out to help people in distress. Well, you think of a lifeboat that goes out to help someone in distress. The lifeboat men are in the vessel as they make their way. But here's Jesus. He's walking on the water. Oh, the power of Christ. And are we not given here a glimpse of his divine nature? He's walking on the water. Oh, consider that this morning in the storms you face, the power of Jesus. He was able to walk on the water. He is able to help you. Oh, rest in his power. In 2 Chronicles 14, verse 11, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. Is Asa an army had come against them? A multitude, a mighty multitude. He looks to the Lord and rests in the power of him. It is nothing with thee to help. And say to the Lord Jesus, it's nothing with thee to help. Thou didst walk on the water. Thou art able to help me. Now consider again, the wind was boisterous. It was mighty. It was strong. I remember a few years ago, the last time we had a great storm here in this part of the country, I just went out for a few moments and I saw the trees and the branches. They were just being whipped around by the wind, and the bushes in my garden were just, as it were, being blown over. So powerful was the wind. So powerful was the wind on this occasion. But Jesus comes walking towards them. You may think, oh, the trial is so great. What I'm facing is so difficult. Oh, consider Jesus. He came walking. He has such power. He came calmly to them. Because of you, he is of great power. He walks on the water. Saw a clip a number of years ago of those crossing the Atlantic in the Second World War, the Atlantic convoy to bring supplies from America. And these sailors, they were struggling to stand upright in the wind, and they were having to cling on to a rope on the side of the boat near the cabin. But here's Jesus walking on the water. You may say, this trial is so great. Consider Jesus walking on the water. The wind was no problem to our Lord. And oh, as you think of the winds of adversity, they are no problem to the Lord. What a strong captain you have, and I have. Psalm 93 verse 4, the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. He's mightier. So helpful, isn't it? The noise of many waters. Think of Peter and the disciples. Not only do they see the wind boisterous, but they hear the waves crashing. The noise of many waters is not pleasant, is it? The noise of affliction in the storm, but the Lord is mightier. Oh, to focus on Jesus here, walking on the water. Oh, to focus on him and his power and to remember what he did. Consider secondly, his power to support Peter. His power to support Peter. Then we notice in verse 28, Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Of himself, he couldn't do it. None of us could do that, could we? None of us could get out of a ship and just walk on the water. Peter of himself, he couldn't do it. Admire again the power of Jesus, who supported Peter walking on the water for a little while, until he turns and looks at the wind, and then he sinks. Oh, the power of Jesus. He came walking, and there, standing on the water, when Peter's gets, rather we'll come to that in a moment, there he is, the Lord's on the water, and he calls to Peter, and Peter comes, and he walks on the water to go to Jesus. How he is able to support you in the storm. He's able to support you underneath are the everlasting arms. He's able to help you go forward in the storm. We see that a little glimpse here with Peter walking on the water. He's able, you trust him then. Isaiah 50 verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light, Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. You lean on the Lord, he's able to support you. Oh, to be aware of his support. But then consider thirdly here, as we think of the power of Christ, consider how he helped Peter when he was sinking. The Lord came walking on the water. Then he supported Peter to walk on the water a little. But then Peter, what does he do, children? He looks at the wind, which is boisterous, and he begins to sink. What does Jesus do? Verse 31. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Here's Jesus. Immediately he stretches forth his hand. Now think of it. Jesus is standing on the water, and he stretched forth his hand to help Peter. Because Peter's got out of the boat, hasn't he? And he's walked a little. That's amazing, isn't it? Jesus standing on the water, and he stretches out his hand, and he supports Peter. That's wonderful, isn't it? How he's able to support you when you are sinking. He's able to reach out his hand and bring you to safety. I will hold thy right hand, says the Lord. He will bring you through. How the Lord is able to pick us up. You think of a little child who's had a hard day and they come in crying and the parent picks up the child. How Jesus is able to pick you up. You may be weighed in affliction. You may have a sorrowful heart. You have that sinking feeling. He's able to pick you up. Now think of the child. Not always does the child straight away know calm. They still can be troubled, but they're in the arms of the parent. We may not always know calm straight away, but the Lord has picked us up. Oh, the power of Jesus. Are we not thankful for his power? You may be in a storm now. Oh, look to him. He'll be able to support you. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, he's able to carry you on. He's with you and he'll carry you. How the Lord picks us up. Just think here. He picked up Peter straight away. You think sometimes when a rescue helicopter goes out, the pilot may have to make many attempts to get near to a ship that's in distress. And when the helicopter's there, the winchman may also have to make many attempts to lower safely his colleague down to help those in distress. Consider the Lord Jesus. He comes immediately, stretches out his hand the first time. And takes hold of Peter. Oh, the power of Jesus. He's able to help you now. If you're not a Christian, go to him now. Cry out, Lord, save me. And dear brothers and sisters, don't doubt his power in affliction. Cry out to him. Remember those sailors? They were at their wits' end, Psalm 107. But then they cried unto the Lord. You cry to him. Don't doubt his power. He's able to help you now. Jesus, the captain, comes and stretches out his mighty hand to Peter and caught him and brings him to safety. Are we not thankful for him who has hold of us and will bring us to safety? But then consider fourthly, as we think of his power, he stills the storm. Now come with me to verse 32. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. He brings Peter in, and the wind ceases. Psalm 107, verse 29, he maketh the storm a calm, so the waves thereof are still. He does it. You think of some distresses you pass through, he brought them to an end. He was mightier. You may say, but I'm going through some distress. Well, if you love the Lord, he'll bring you through. He bring you to a place of calm. The calm is coming because we have a powerful captain. Do you know him? The calm is coming and there will be a stillness. On another occasion in Matthew 8 verse 27, we read the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" They marveled, and they would on this occasion. Oh, to marvel. Oh, to be amazed at Jesus and his power. He's there to help me, and he will bring me through. I can't assure you when you'll get through your trials, if it be a day, a week, or a few years, but I can assure you, you will get through your trials. I don't know when, but I know you will. And you'll get through all your trials when you leave this world and go to heaven. Oh, what an arm he has. Psalm 89 verse 13. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand and high is thy right hand. Now till the calm, there will be his supporting hand of favour, his sustaining and supporting grace. But firstly, this morning then, Jesus and his power. Secondly, Jesus and his mercy. Jesus and his mercy. Now consider on this occasion, he had been up a mountain praying. Just notice verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. He'd been praying, giving glory to the Father, praying for his people, praying for his disciples, praying for those in need, like the disciples. They'd had a busy time. Oh, consider our Lord now, he makes intercession. What a mercy it was he was up that mountain praying. What a mercy it is he is now making intercession. Oh, to think more often that he ever liveth to make intercession, ever mindful of us. Every moment he thinks of us, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. And he's making intercession. He's pleading our cause in light of his precious blood. And therefore we know help and strength. What a mercy. Hebrews 2 verse 17, "Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Hebrews 7 verse 25, "Wherefore he is able to also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for him, for them." He's the merciful high priest. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and he's making intercession. He ever liveth, and his intercession prevails. And that's why you've passed through a number of storms already, and you will pass through them all. Because he in his mercy makes intercession, and it is his prevailing intercession. He pleads to the Father, "Children, you may go to your dad and ask dad for something. But your request doesn't prevail. No, not today. Perhaps next week. But oh, the Son, his intercession prevails. And you're blessed." Are we not thankful for his mercy and his prevailing intercession? He was up the mountain here praying. What a blessing and mercy that was for the disciples. What a blessing and mercy it is in the storms of life. Christ is there in the mount of heaven, at the Father's right hand, making intercession. But then secondly, he saw them toiling in rowing and had mercy on them. I go to the parallel passage in Mark 6 verse 48. "And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them." He saw them toiling in rowing. He sees you now. He's watching you. What a thought that is, children. Jesus sees you now. Do you see him by faith? Are you believing in him? Oh, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what a comfort. Jesus sees us toiling in the storm. At times we're weighed down and we're finding it hard to focus, but not our Lord. He sees us. He sees us toiling. He's aware. He knows. He knows what you're going through now. You may have not said it to someone else, but the Lord knows already. He sees you toiling. What a mercy that is. He sees them toiling and he has mercy upon them, for he comes unto them, as we will note in a moment. He's mindful and he's touched. How do we know that? Well, he went to the disciples, but just consider this at this point. He had mercy as he saw them and he was touched. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He's touched now. You may be battling on like those disciples he's touched. You may be weary. You've been battling for a long time like those disciples he's touched. He's the first one that's touched. But oh, what a heart he has. The greatest heart of compassion. And he's my Saviour and my friend. Is he your Saviour and your friend? Oh, he's touched. He sees you toiling and rowing. He's not unmindful. And so he will come. And that's another aspect of his mercy, isn't it? Here we see thirdly, he sees and he comes. He comes to your aid. He comes walking upon the water in the fourth watch of the night. He makes his approach in the storms of life you face. You see, he is the captain who has such a heart of care and compassion for your soul. What do we read in Psalm 102 and verse 13? Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. The Lord had mercy as he was praying for them. He had mercy as he saw them. And he arose in mercy and had mercy upon them. He's able to help you, as we've considered this morning, in the most difficult storm you face. And he's on his way. He will get to you. And sadly, we've all known the accounts in times past. There have been those who faced a great storm at sea, and the lifeboat has been sent out, but the lifeboat couldn't get to them. I believe it was my great-grandfather who was a lifeboatman based in Poole. I remember my granny was given an award that her dad had been given. He went out and helped. And then my mother had it, and now it's still in the family. But sometimes they weren't able to get to those who are in need. But the Lord is able to get to you. In mercy, he will come for you. He's on his way. You're struggling at this time in some trouble. He's on his way. And from another perspective, he's already got there, hasn't he? And his arm is there. His hand is stretched out. He will get to you. In the storms you face, the storm is no problem. He has such a heart of mercy, he will get to you. Remember what was said to the centurion whose servant was sick, Matthew 8 verse 7, I will come and heal him. I will come. I will go and help that brother, that sister who's struggling in the storm. I will come. I'm on my way through the word. Through the Comforter, I'm on my way. How often Jesus is going in a spiritual way to his people. How often he's gone to you. We can't count the number of times, can we? There's times we've known he's come and helped us, and there's other times he's helped us, and we can't remember. But he came. I will come. As we saw the other day, his hands are full of grace. Well, here his hands are full of mercy. And he dispenses mercy to you in need. He comes with a heart overflowing with mercy. And he shows you his compassion. There's grace to support and mercy for you in the storm. What mercy it was when he took hold of Peter's hand. What a mercy it is. The merciful hand of Jesus. And then consider in mercy. He brought these disciples safely to the other side. In mercy, he bring you through. Maybe you come to some desired haven here upon earth. You're through that trial. It's the Lord's mercy, isn't it? But then you'll be brought to the golden shore, that desired haven, and it will be because of his favour, but also because of his mercy. No storm will prevent. That's an encouragement, isn't it? A storm may weigh you down and batter you hard, but no storm will prevent him bringing you to heaven. He is so powerful, and he is so merciful. Oh, take comfort in his mercy this morning, in his merciful hand, which is full of power. We'll leave it there again. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord bless his word to you. Amen.